Welcome to Striving for Revival with Justin Cooper. This broadcast will challenge and encourage God's people to seek revival. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to Striving for Revival.
Welcome to the Striving for Revival radio broadcast. This is Brother Cooper. I'm coming to today from somewhere along the revival trail. My, what a privilege it is to have you join us for the broadcast today. And what an honor is mine to take the King James Bible and to share with you some eternal truth from the very Word of God. I'm hoping today and praying that God will take our time together and use it to strengthen your stand, to solidify your beliefs, to help you along the journey of life, that you might get closer to the goal. And what is that goal? It is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I press toward the prize, right? The mark. He said, the high calling of God. That's what I'm pressing toward. I'm running this race to get to one goal, and that goal is to be just like my Savior, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And He said, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. Oh, to be like Thee. That is our goal. That is our desire, to be like Christ. And how does that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scripture, and those things go together. And then, of course, we have the life experience, living this Christian life. Those things shape us and mold us, the situations, the circumstances, the things that we get involved in this world. And all of that goes together for good and brings us into that place where we conform to the image of Christ. And that's God's goal in my life and in yours, not just to bless us, but to better us and to make us more like our Savior. Today we will begin Genesis 46. We finished Genesis 45 last study. I planned to get into 46, but we got stuck in those four or five verses there, and thank God for that. I'm glad when God speaks to us, and that's what we want. So today we'll begin this new chapter, Genesis 46, and this will be the first study here. And so if you've missed the studies from 45, you might want to catch those on the podcast. The podcast is found on every major podcast platform, and that audience is growing by many every single week, it seems, and God is blessing that, and I love it. We're not really advertising or anything like that, just word of mouth, social media, and then I guess me preaching around the country, but folks from other countries are listening, and a large chunk of our listeners are from other countries, and what a blessing that is. It's an encouragement to me, and I thank God for you, and I enjoy that. And if you'd like to send us a message, you can do that through the Striving for Revival broadcast page on Facebook, and there's other ways to contact us. All right, here, Genesis 46. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. I like that. I like that Jacob didn't go far before he worshiped. And he didn't forget who to say thank you to. I mean, think about it. His life has just been changed. His family has just basically been salvaged. His needs are going to be met. He's actually got a meal ticket now. I mean, he's got it made. Joseph's going to take care of him. And it would have been easy for Jacob, in his excitement, having heard Joseph's alive, having heard about all these blessings coming his direction, to just run off and get involved in the blessing. You hear what I'm saying? Just to run off and enjoy it. But he doesn't. He takes the time to thank God, to worship, to offer sacrifice. And you and I need to be careful. Let's not forget that. Let's not neglect God in this thing. We ought to say thank you. Thank God for his blessings. But honestly, thank God for the blessing. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and he said, Jacob, and he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee. Now that's a blessing. And if you remember the covenant that God made with Jacob a long time ago, back in the earlier chapters of Genesis we studied together, when Jacob set out from his family and had that first encounter with God, God promised Jacob that he would be with him wherever he went, that God would go. And here God is reaffirming and confirming that in Jacob's life, that, hey, don't be scared, don't be nervous to go down there into Egypt. I'm going to go down there with you, and I'll bless you there. And I thank God for that. God is faithful, isn't he? I'm glad God doesn't jump ship. God doesn't turn his back on us, but God remains and abides faithful. faithful. And he said, will there make of thee a great nation. God said, even in Egypt, I can bless you. I can make of you a great nation even there. God doesn't have to be in perfect conditions or a perfect circumstance or favorable odds to get the job done. God is God and God can do it. God can do it wherever he wants to. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives, and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. The Bible said, his sons and his sons' son with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel. And now the Bible just goes down through Reuben and Simeon and Judah and all of their offspring, all the sons of Jacob and their children. So we're going to jump on down now to verse number 27. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. So you can see Jacob, I mentioned this before, and Joseph still had this tender affection for his father. And this is the reuniting of a son to his father and a father to his son. Verse 30, and Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Jacob said, you know what? This is enough. I'm satisfied. I've got to see you face to face. I've got to feel you. I've got to hear your voice. And now I know that you're alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That you shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. You have to understand what's happening, that Pharaoh, these Egyptians, they will not dwell with shepherds, and they have no entrance into the presence of Pharaoh. The Bible uses that word, and it's a very stout word. They're an abomination. I mean, they are just a horrible thing in the eyes of the Egyptians. But I tell you what's going to make the difference. What makes the difference is these men that are an abomination in the eyes of Pharaoh are going to have access into the presence of Pharaoh because they have an advocate in Joseph. They can get where they ought not be getting. They can go where they shouldn't go. They can stand where they shouldn't be able to stand because they will go and get and stand with Joseph. Verse number 1 of chapter 47. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? So basically he's going to say, now who are you? Where do you stand? What have you done? What's your living? And basically he's inquiring of them, if you put it down, are you an abomination or not? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds. Basically, they're saying, we are sinners. We are abomination. We are wicked, both we and also our fathers. In the mindset of the Egyptians, when they said that, that's what they're saying. We are an abomination. Now, right there, Pharaoh could have killed them, could have cast them out, could have said, no deal. But that's not what happens. And they said, moreover, unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land to make thy father and brethren to dwell in the land of Goshen. Let them dwell. What a picture of entrance and access and standing. Because of Joseph, they got connected to Joseph. Joseph is connected to them. Joseph can advocate for them in front of Pharaoh and gets them entrance into the best of the land. One of these days, we'll stand before God the Father, and what we could have been was an old, unclean, wretched, worthless sinner. But because of Christ, thank God, we can enter in. Until next time, pray with me for revival.
Thank you for joining us today for Striving for Revival with Justin Cooper. Listen at this time every weekday as we strive for revival.